begin with Reishis Tzadi Vav Aleph. So he starts off Seder Havdalah, Yayin Besomim Ner Havdalah, V'Simonach Yavne. Yayin Besomim Ner Havdalah. That's the order of the way that we make the bracha. We make the bracha on the Yayin Bri Gafen, then on the Besomim, then Bri Priya Ish, and then at the end we make the bracha of Havdalah. You have to be careful that the kos is not going to be pogum. Should we move upstairs? People are not going to know. Right. So should I ask them? And then it'll be obvious. Okay. Okay. What was that? Yes, coming right now.
Pugum, again, what is a kos pugum? It's an open bottle of wine for Kiddush.
Correct.
Pour out the wine for Kiddush. What's a pugum?
It makes a pugum that if somebody's drinking from the cup, so then the kos becomes pugum. So
the
you can, the kos has become pugum, and therefore you can't make Kiddush or Havdalah on that kos.
Once,
if you add clean wine to it, it removes the pogromness.
Okay.
But calls him on that you.
I make Kiddush. I put the coast down. The guy who's next to me and he says, "Oh, perfect, because I have a cup of."
Let me make grape juice. Let me make Kiddush on it. That's pogrom. That's a problem, right? Correct.
And pouring some little pour back into the bottle.
Right, because if you pour back into the bottle, then you just made the whole bottle pogum. But if you pour from the bottle into the cup, and then from the cup back into the bottle, so then it removes the status of pogum. Okay, we'll give it a try. Okay, so let's get started. So we have the order here of the Havdalah, Yayin B'Samim Ner Havdalah, the first Kiddush, the first Bri Priya Gafen, then Bri Minei B'Samim, then Bri Amei Ha'esh, and then we make the actual bracha of Mavdil. Mavdil ben Kodesh Lechobin or Lechoshef and Yisrael Amim. So that's what we're brought down here. And the Ramah tells us right away that all of the psukim that we say in the beginning of Havdalah, like Hine Kel Yeshuasi and Kos Yeshuas Esa and Laihuda Maisa Ora B'Simcha, all of that is all just psukim of bracha that we start with. It's not actually part of Havdalah. In fact, we're going to see, you don't even really need to be holding the kos during that time. So that's not really the ikar of Havdalah. And the Ramah continues and says, "Ubishas Havdalah yitnu einayim bekos ubiner." While you're making Havdalah, you're supposed to look at the kos in order to help you focus on what you're doing. Not supposed to be looking around. You're supposed to be looking at the kos. The Ramah continues and tells us that there's a practice two times during Havdalah to pour out wine from the kos, and it's something that we're going to be familiar with, but not exactly the way that the Ramah describes it. So the Ramah begins by writing, "V'noagin lishpoch mikos shel yayin al ha'aretz kodem shesiyem brei pri agafin kedesh lo yakos pogam." The Ramah writes that you're supposed to pour out some of the wine from the cup of Havdalah. When do you do that? When you're almost done with the bracha. So you start making the bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam Borei Pri Hagafen, and as you're finishing the bracha Borei Pri Hagafen, you pour out some of the wine. Why? So it shouldn't be pogum. Now this is not the standard usage of the phrase pogum as we're used to it. Pogum, as we mentioned, usually means that the kos has already been drunken from. Here, the Ramah uses pogum, right, that it was already drunk from, so then it's pogum. Here, the Ramah is learning another usage of the word pogum, that it means if the kos is not full. That the kos should really, fundamentally, it should be full when you make the bracha. So therefore, he wants you to spill out the wine. So when should you spill out the wine? At the very end, right before you finish the bracha. That way, a majority of the bracha was made over a full cup. Okay, but why are we spilling out the wine? So the Ramah says, you know why we do it? De'amrinan, because we say, kol bayis, shelo nishpoch bo yayin kemayim, any house where wine is not flowing or is not poured like water, ein bo simen bracha, shalom aleichem, won't have a simen bracha. There's a simen bracha if you have in the house wine spilled like water. So what does that mean? So traditionally, I think we assume that what that means is that there's this inyan of shefa, that when the wine spills over, so it creates a certain shefa of bracha.
This is the speaking
of, oh, so we're going to get there in 1 second. Good. So right, no, very good. So the Ramah did not mention that. The Ramah said that you have your kos full of yayin, and then towards the end, you spill out a little bit in order to fulfill this bracha of kol bayis she'ena yayin nishpach, where the water does not flow, the wine doesn't spill over, there won't be bracha there. So what's the pashtus? The pashtus is that what that means is that it's an inyan of shefa, like it's overflowing, right? You would understand. You know what? Maybe let's take a step back. That's what the Ramah writes. The Taz here in the Shulchan Aruch says that this is not the minog that he's familiar with, that you pour out some of the wine. I mean, who does that? Sounds like the Pesach Seder. Rather, he says, what it means is that when you're filling up the coast the first time, you fill it and it overflows, like was mentioned, that minog that we're more familiar with. So whether you do it the Ramah's way, which is not so familiar to us, that you spill out some of the wine, or you do it the Taz's way, which is what we do, I think most of us, that you pour the wine and it overflows, what's the whole idea? The idea is what the Ramah here quotes, that there's an inyan, there's a bracha in the house when the wine is spilled like water, meaning it's flowing like water. Now certainly according to the Taz, we can understand what that means. There's this idea of shefa, having a lot. You have so much that it overflows your cup. It shows a certain sense of bracha in the house. The Taz actually says a very nice idea. He says that what's a person's reaction normally when the wine spills? Right? Everyone gets worked up and everyone gets angry. So what do? We recreate a scene that should really cause us to get angry, but we take it in stride. We don't react. And it's a siman bracha in the house that the house, the week should be calm. There shouldn't be people getting angry. It should be a house of shalom. So we do something that would normally elicit a response, and we don't respond. We overpour the wine, and we just go on. So whether it's shefa or whether it's this nice idea of peace and people not being upset, people not being angry, this is the first thing that's quoted. This is the first time that we spill out wine. Is explaining why when he says to pour it out, you only pour it out at the very end. The reason you pour it out at the very end is because he's learning another understanding of pogrom, that pogrom means to make a bracha on a non-full cup. Like to have a half-empty cup. Now normally the reason it's pogrom when it's half-empty is because someone drank from it, which is the real pogrom. So he's almost borrowing the term pogrom. And he wants you to spill it out, but if you spill it out early, so then you end up making the bracha on a cup that's not full, and that he doesn't want you to do. So therefore, keep it full, and at the very end, spill out a little bit. So again, our practice is that we just overflow it from the beginning. But the idea is that there should be wine flowing. At the end of the siman, at the end of this piece in the Ramah, he says that we the gam shofkin min hakos la'achar avdala. He says that you spill a second time from the cup. Right? And why do you do that? In order to extinguish the flame. And this is our second time we overflow it the first time. And then we spill out a little bit at the end in order to put out the flame. Does everybody do that? Is it everyone's minhag? Yes? No? Some people?
They pour the toast on the table.
Oh, so we're going to get there in 1 second. Very good. So why do we put it out? So the truth is that there is, first of all, there's an inyan to put the light out because we want to show that we only lit it for the mitzvah. We weren't lighting it for light. We were doing it for the mitzvah. So that's one of the reasons we put it out. But why do we put it out in the wine, into the beverage? So it's brought down by the Ben Ishchai and others that there's Kabbalistic inyanim with not putting out a flame by blowing it out. The Rav Avadya actually has a tshuva about blowing out candles on your birthday cake, because he brings down that the Kabbalists say you should never blow out a candle. So how do you make a wish and blow out the candles? So he has a tshuva discussing, and Yechav Adas has a tshuva about blowing out candles. But Lamaisa, the poskim say that if a person is doing it in the context of a mitzvah, so we apply the principle of shomer mitzvah lo yeda davara, that you don't have to worry about the Kabbalistic inyanim if you're involved in a mitzvah. And therefore, everyone has their own minhag. Some people blow out the candle. Some people put it out in order to fulfill this Kabbalistic inyan. But that's where it comes from. a very interesting question that arises about this whole inyan of spilling out the wine is here in Eretz Yisrael, what about a Shemitah year? In a Shemitah year, if you're using wine which just has Kedusha Shvius, so are you allowed to pour the wine and have it overflow? So this is a very interesting discussion. There are some poskim that say that I think the Rav Ben Zion Abba Shaul, the Or Litzion, he suggests that you're only not allowed to use Shemitah wine for the Ibud. No, you're only not allowed to use it for Ibud. Meaning it's a misconception a lot of times we have. Shemitah wine, not only are you allowed to drink it, the Ramban writes that it's a mitzvah to drink it. Any Shemitah product is a mitzvah to eat it. So how can we get all worked up about Shemitah? Because we get concerned that it wasn't taken care of properly. It was sold, it was worked. But really, there's an inyan to consume Shemitah. The Pasuk says, L'ochla, you're supposed to eat it. So when you use your Shemitah wine for Havdalah, some poskim say that that's okay. You're not allowed to waste Shemitah products. But some people say this is the normal usage. You're supposed to spill it over. So that's not called wasting it. You're using it for a mitzvah. But most poskim don't like that. Most poskim say that in a Shemitah year, if you're going to use wine that has Kedusha Shvius, one of the ways you can have wine that has Kedusha Shvius is if you grow your own grapes and you know, grapes grow that year and you use them. Or Otzer Beistin. Otzer Beistin is a very fine way to use Kedusha Shvius. Sometimes bottles will say on them Otzer Beistin. So if you have wine that has Kedusha Shvius, most poskim say you should not try to fulfill this inyan of overflowing the cup. But you know, you should try to make sure that you don't have any of it that spills. The Ramah here actually brings this custom that Moshe made reference to. V'rochatzinbo einav mishum chibuv mitzvah. He says that some people have a minog that they put their fingers into the wine and they rub it over their eyes, mishum chibuv mitzvah, to show a certain chavivus for the mitzvah. So okay, I don't know exactly. You know, there's a lot of mitzvahs. You know, we don't like rub an esrog on our eyes. Right, so he was putting it all over his face. Okay, so as I'm sure many of us are aware, there's always different types of minhagim. Some people put it into their pockets. Some people put it in the back of their head because of the loose bone in the back of their head, which is where Tchias HaMesim starts from. Some people smell the candle. The pashtus is that all of this is a sign of chibuv mitzvah, different skulos, which whatever, not our inyan right now. But the Maisa, the Ramah, does quote this idea of putting it on your eyes. That is quoted here by the Ramah. It is quoted here by the Ramah. Okay. In Sif Beis, the Shulchan Aruch discusses about making Havdalah on bread. Can you be mavdil al hapas? Now we know that Kiddush can be done al hapas. So what about Havdalah? Can Havdalah also be done al hapas? So the Shulchan Aruch says no. Why not? What's wrong with doing Havdalah on pas? Kiddush can be done on pas. So the Mishnah Berurah has a very interesting suggestion. He says that since Kiddush has to be done b'mokom suda, so there's a link between the Kiddush and the bread, because the Kiddush needs the bread in order for it to be Kiddush. So you can make Kiddush on bread. But since by Havdalah, there's no din of Havdalah ala suda, so if there's no din of Havdalah ala suda, there's no link between Havdalah and bread, and you can't make Havdalah on bread. That's the psak that we have here. Ein mavdil and ala pas. But what can you make Havdalah on? Aval al hashechar mavdilin imu chomer medina. V'uadin l'shar mashkin chutz min amayim. So the Shulchan Aruch says that you might not be able to make Havdalah on bread, but you can make it on chomer medina. Now, chomer medina is a topic that we spoke about a few weeks ago in regards to Kiddush. And although the Shulchan Aruch seems to allow it, if you look in the Mishnah Berurah writes in Sif Katan Ches, im ein lo yayin. This is only if you don't have wine. So even though the Shulchan Aruch said you can make Havdalah on Sheikhar, on Chomer Medina, the Mishnah Berurah walks it back a little bit, and he says that this is only if wine is not available. And the Mishnah Berurah even continues, and he says that Chazal spoke very highly of a person who makes Havdalah on wine. He writes here, HaMavdil al Hayayin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Koreu Kadosh. Such a person is referred to as a Kadosh if he makes Havdalah on wine. So first of all, he says it's better not to, and if you have wine, you should make it on wine. Even more than that, Chazal speaks so positively about a person who makes Havdalah on wine. Why should there be a difference between why this big shevach for a person who makes Havdalah on wine? So some suggest that to make Kiddush on wine is very natural. You're having a meal. People like to have wine with the meal. But everybody knows that by the end of Shabbos, you know, we're like opening up a button on the belt. Everyone feels a little bit stuffed from all the food. No one's interested at the end of Shabbos to start drinking wine. You know, so a person who goes out of his way to do the mitzvah properly and do it with wine, which is the ideal way, so such a person is called a kadosh because he's clearly doing it for the mitzvah. L'maisa, the Ramah writes that it's better to be mavdil on a kos pogum of yayin than on shechar, than to do it on chama medina, which is a very strong statement. Now, l'maisa, the Mishnah Brura says that this only refers to when shechar is not chama medina. Because how can you say, how can it be so extreme? Better on Yayin Pogum than on Shechar? Shechar's Chomer Medina. So, Lamaisa, what we end up seeing is that the preference here is certainly to do it on wine. You know, some people think that, even though the Gemara is Mashma, that it's there's more room by Havdalah to make Havdalah on Chomer Medina. But our practice is that we try not to make Havdalah on Chomer Medina unless we absolutely have to. The Ramah does quote that there's a minog on Motzei Pesach to make Havdalah on beer. They say that the Gra used to do this. And it was also because of Chibuv Mitzvah. What does it mean, Chibuv Mitzvah?
Does that mean the Gra kept beer over Chametz?
That's a good question. Where do you get the beer from? Right, maybe he bought it from his Goyish neighbor. Right after. He borrowed it from his Goyish neighbor, right? There's no din of Yain Nesach by beer. But why did he do that? What's the Chibuv Mitzvah of having beer? What do you mean? Chibuv mitzvah of Havdalah, you should have grape, you should have wine. What's the chibuv mitzvah? Right. For a whole, this is like the marker for running to the pizza store after Pesach. Right? Why do you run to the pizza store after Pesach? Not because, you know, you want to have pizza so badly. Obviously, you can wait another day for pizza. The reason we do is we want to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we love pizza. And the only reason we didn't have pizza for all these days was because of the mitzvah. If it wasn't for the mitzvah, we would have been eating pizza every day. So too, you make Havdalah on beer, which is chametz, to show that I love your mitzvah so much, I would have loved to have had beer all of Pesach, and the only reason I did is because of your mitzvah. Therefore, the first opportunity I have to have chametz, I'm going to have chametz. So the Ramah does bring a minog on Motzei Pesach to use Chomer Medina, but in general, we try not to do that. There's somewhere medayik from here that maybe if you really have a preference for beer, it comes before wine because, you know, reasons like chibuv mitzvah, maybe even a preference for it would be enough. But we generally do not paskin that way. Just to remind ourselves, what is chomer medina? So we said chomer medina means any beverage that is the standard beverage in the community or in the nation, in the country that's drinking. Rav Moshe said it means specifically beverages that you use to be mechabed someone who comes to your house. So I think a lot of the posts can say the classic example of Chomer Medina nowadays is coffee. Coffee is the type of thing. Someone comes to your house, you serve them a cup of coffee. Now, the posts can do note that if you're going to make Havdalah on coffee, you have to make sure it's not too hot because you have to drink a Mali Lugmov. You can't just sip it. If it's too hot, you can't make Havdalah on that. You have to be Yotzei Havdalah, you have to drink at least a Mali Lugmov. Mishmur actually quotes from the Magen Avram that it's ideal to drink the whole cup by Havdalah. Right, we've spoken about this before, that on Pesach, there's an idea to drink the whole cup, or at least Rubo Kikulo. But for Kiddush Friday night, you don't have to drink the whole cup. You have to drink Mali Lugmov, which is half of a Revius. But by Havdalah, the Magen Avram quotes that there's a minhag to drink the entire cup. So if you have to drink the entire cup, and if you're making Havdalah on a cup of coffee, it's very hard to, you know, it takes a while to get through a hot cup of coffee. So, right, so it's only if you don't have available. So I actually had a... Right, so you generally should not do that unless you don't have wine. You really shouldn't do that unless you don't have wine, or maybe if you have some type of medical condition, you know, maybe there's too much sugar in it, but if not, you really shouldn't be doing that. L'maisa, it's also very interesting. I had a case like this just today, actually. A guy in yeshiva, he said that he wasn't feeling well Motzei Shabbos. He didn't make Havdalah, and he forgot. He never made Havdalah. So he should still make Havdalah today. So I said, yeah, you should still make Havdalah. He said, yeah, but I don't have any grape juice, and what should I, like, start taking a bus into Modi'in in order to get grape juice? Like, where should I get grape? So that's a situation where you don't have wine available. He's not going to, like, start being Mevatel, a Seder, to go get grape juice. So I said, make it on orange juice, make it on a, you know, iced coffee. You know, an iced coffee you can drink a little bit quicker, or a cooled off cup of coffee. But that's Chomer Medina. The next thing we'll learn is Sif Vov. And let's take a quick vote. How many people here for Havdalah stand for Havdalah, and how many people sit for Havdalah? Stand? Sit?
Stand.
Used to stand, now you sit. All right, you're included. Yeah, you don't have your own house yet. So says the Shulchan Aruch, Omer Havdalah Miyushov. Shulchan Aruch says you should sit. Ramah, V'yesh Omrim Mu'umad. And others say to stand. So we have a Machlokes Shulchan Aruch, Ramah, stand or sit. Shulchan Aruch says to sit, and the Ramah says to stand. And the Ramah continues and says, "V'chein noagin b'medino selu." That's the minhag here in Ashkenaz, that we stand for Havdalah. Now the Mishnah Brura says that everyone agrees that ideally you should stand. Why? Because you're escorting Shabbos. When you escort someone, you stand. When you escort someone, that's how you give them honor. So why does the Shulchan Aruch say to sit? So he says, because when you are making Havdalah for a group of people, you need to sit in order to create a kvius. If I'm going to be motzi other people in Havdalah, we need to sit in order so that we can have a kvius. That's what the Shulchan Aruch holds. Okay, so what does the Ramah hold? Why does the Ramah say that you stand if we need the kvius? So apparently he says that there's enough of a kvius if everyone's standing around the table. So there's a little bit of a machlokas here about how much of a kvius do you need in order to be able to motzi the other people. So if it's just you by yourself, it seems pasha, at least according to the Mishnah Berurah, that you should be standing. Right? The Mishnah Berurah says, Miyushav mairi kishemotzi acherim yedei chovasan. We're dealing when you're being motzi the other people, yedei chova. But if you're not being motzi the other people, then you stand. Now here's something really interesting. If you remember when we discussed Kiddush, the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah also had a machlokas about whether you should stand or sit. And they came out with exactly the opposite shitas. When it came to Kiddush, the Shulchan Aruch said, you stand for Kiddush. And the Ramah said that you sit for Kiddush. You stand for the first pasuk, but then you sit. So how come by Havdalah, the Mefarshim on the Shulchan Aruch asked this question, how come when it comes to Havdalah, Shulchan Aruch says to sit, but for Kiddush he says to stand? And the Ramah also is Sosra himself. For Kiddush, he says to sit, and for Havdalah, he says to stand. So the Achronim try to give all different types of interpretations. One interpretation that's quoted by Rabbi Akiva Eiger is that he says that the Friday night Kiddush needs to be B'makom Suda. And therefore, since it needs to be B'makom Suda, there's already a certain sense of kvius because it's B'makom Suda. The table's set. You're going to be sitting and having a meal. You're doing it in the context of a Suda. So once there's already a kvius because of the Suda, so then we don't need to make our own kvius. So we'll stand, which is the ideal thing to do. For Kiddush, we'll stand because we don't need to make a kvius. But by Havdalah, where there's no Suda and there's no automatic kvius, so then we're going to need to sit in order to create the kvius. That's how Rabbi Kivager explains the difference in the Shulchan Aruch. And what about the Ramah? The Ramah, he explains completely opposite. He says that Kiddush needs to be Makom Suda, and therefore you need to sit down in order to connect to the Kfiyas of the Suda. How do I connect to the Suda? By sitting down. So by Kiddush Friday night, we need to sit, because that's what makes it B'Makom Suda. But Havdalah, which doesn't need to be B'Makom Suda, so therefore, you could be koveya by just standing around. You don't need to shtel tsuda the suda by sitting at the table in order to create the kfias. Okay, the Shulchan Aruch here continues, and this I think is super practical for every single day, every single week when you make Havdalah. The Shulchan Aruch here in the rest of Sif Vav goes through the process of what you should be doing exactly during Havdalah. So let's take a look. In Sifov, Oches Hayayin Biyamin, you hold the wine in your right hand, and the Hadas, the Mesamim, in your left hand. So that's how you start. First of all, for the Psukim of Hinekel Yeshuas, you don't need to hold the cup at all, because that's just introductory Psukim of Bracha. But when you get up to the Bracha of Brei Pri Hagafen, you pick up the Mesamim in your left hand, you hold the Kiddush cup in your right hand, and you make a Brei Pri Agafen. Then, what do you do when you get up to the Besamim? You transfer hands. You move the cup to your left hand. You put the Besamim in your right hand, because whatever bracha you're making should be in your right hand. If you're a lefty, it's the opposite. But if you're a righty, so you put the Besamim in your right hand, you hold the kos in your left hand, and you make the bracha of Borei Minei Besamim. Now, why do you have to hold the cup in your left hand? Because all of Havdalah is ala kos. All of Havdalah is ala kos. So you need to do it on the kos. It's just that you move it to the left hand because the ikker is the besamim that you're doing in your right hand. Same thing with Borei Minei Ha'esh. When you get up to Borei Minei Ha'esh, you hold the... he doesn't say anything about holding the candle. But you put the kos in your left hand. You make Borei Minei Ha'esh. The Mishnah Berurah actually says, take a look at Sifkat and Lamed. He says, Lamed Aleph, you're Roe Betsi Pornayim Umivarech Borei Minei Ha'esh. What does the Mishnah Berurah say to do? When we get up to Borei Minei Ha'esh, you're holding the cup in your left hand, you look at your fingers, and then you make Borei Minei Ha'esh. Anybody do it that way? What do most of us do? We make Borei Minei Ha'esh, and then we look at our fingers. The Mishnah Berurah says to do the opposite. The Prima Gadim says the Mishnah Berurah is 100% correct. Why? I mean, Prima Gadim was before, but the Prima Gadim says this as well. How does the Prima Gadim explain? Because the Prima Gadim says, what do you mean? What happens with any Berchas HaShevach? Lightning. You see the lightning, and then you make the bracha. He's learning that the Borei Minei Ha'esh is a Berchas HaShevach, right? We know there are different types of brachos. So for instance, Borei Minei Besamim is a Berchas HaNeni. So before your nana from the Besamim, you make a bracha, and then you smell. When it comes to Borei Minei Ha'esh, he's learning that it's not a Berchas HaNeni, a bracha on getting hana, on getting benefit. But it's a Berchas HaShevach. You're praising, you're being Meshabeach Hashem for light. And therefore, first you use the light by looking at your fingernails. Why your fingernails? Kabbalistic reasons. But you first look at your fingernails, and then you make the bracha of Borei Minei Ha'esh. The Lamaisa, there were many who did it the way that the Mishnah Berurah says to do it, like the Briska Rav apparently did it that way. But the Gra, the Chasan Ish, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, they all say to do it the way that we do it. And Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva that the Minhag Olam. So apparently the Chafetz Chaim didn't do it that way. Apparently the Chafetz Chaim looked at his nails first, the author of the Mishnah Berurah. Apparently he looked at his nails first and then made the bracha. But I think most of us have the practice, maybe all of us, that we make the bracha first of Borei Minei Ha'esh, and then we look at our fingers. Above my pay grade, I'm not sure. But again, Al Pi Halacha, it just says you look at the Tzipornayim, you nana from the Yor. Okay. Maybe on Friday night we can get to these inyanim. Okay, and then what do you do then when you get up to the last bracha of Hamavdil ben Kodesh Lachol? You move the kos back into your right hand for Hamavdil ben Kodesh Lachol. So you have to be a little bit, agile for Havdalah. Again, you start Havdalah, Brei Pri Agafen with the kos in your right hand and the Besamim in your left hand. When you get up to the Besamim, you switch hands. You move the Besamim to your right hand and the kos in your left hand. You continue that way for Borei Minei Ha'esh. And then, a lot of people, I think, just put the cup down on the table. But he says you're supposed to be holding it. And then when you get up to the last bracha of Avamavdil ben Kodesh Lachol, you put the kos back in your right hand in order to finish off the Havdalah.